All right, let's pray at this time. If you would all please rise. Father Yahweh, we come before you again as we approach your throne of grace, thanking and praising your name for another Sabbath day. We honor you, Father, and we give glory and praise to your great name. We know that you are the only living El, and we ask, Father, that you would bless your servants, that you would open our hearts and minds to receive the implanted word that you prepared for us this day. Help us to be humble servants. Help us to be in a receiving mindset, that we would receive your word with gladness and great joy. As we do our best, Father, to serve you, we ask that you would continue to bless our families, each and every one that is seeking to do your will throughout this world. We know, Father, that your brethren, the people in Africa, are suffering and they are under duress. And we ask that you would bless them with the things they have need of. We ask that we would truly be able to not only send them the things they need on a temporal basis, but on a spiritual basis as well, because we know that the word is the best thing that they can receive, so that they would have the opportunity, just like we do, to be a part of your kingdom when Yahshua returns in the very, very near future. So again, Father, we thank you for the shed blood of your son, Yahshua the Messiah, and as we prepare to choose our lamb on the 10th day of the first month, we choose Yahshua the Messiah, Father, and we ask that his blood would cover each and every one of our sins. And we thank you for all these favors and blessings. In the name of your son, we pray. Hallelujah. You may all be seated. We have a handful here. Nice young lady. But she is obviously a handful. let's see where I put this. One of the things that I normally do, I didn't do this time, but it's okay. Sometimes it's time to change it up a little bit. But I've entitled this message, Yahweh Who Delights in You. How do you view Yahweh? Is he a loving, mighty one or a hard, bloodthirsty Elohim of the Old Testament? When I was in high school at Poly, here in Baltimore, in my history book, it portrayed Yahweh as a bloodthirsty, mighty one who ordered the deaths of all the inhabitants of the Holy Land, that he was giving it to the children of Israel. How do you view Almighty Yahweh determines on how well you serve him and how you live your life for him, okay? And that's important. And the reason it's very important is because, you know, it's just like a father who abuses his children. If you have a father that abuses your children, they look at that father in a very bad light, okay? So they're not going to reverence him. They're not going to, you know, when Father's Day come around, send him a lot of presents, or, you know, they might take him out to dinner, but I don't know. He may not get the things that a father who is loving, a father who takes good care of his family would receive. And it's not about just that. I'm trying to get you to think and see this from the concept of how you feel about that individual. So Yahweh is a loving, mighty one. And I got Brenda and the people muted, but, you know, Yahweh is good. And the response is all the time. And all the time, Yahweh is good. So what we have to understand is that Yahweh is good. All the time. And all the time, Yahweh is good. So when we understand this concept and we have it in our heart, we view him differently because he does so many wonderful things for us, okay? Now, I want to start off in Leviticus chapter 18. We're going to look at the Old Testament, and the reason we're going back to Leviticus is because this is the law, the Torah. Leviticus chapter 18, we're going to start in verse 1. And this is the law. It says, "And Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, and say to them, I am Yahweh, Ani Yahweh, your Elohim. After the doings of the land of Egypt in which you dwelt, you shall not do. And after the doings of the land of Canaan, where I bring you, you shall not do. Neither shall you walk in their statutes. My ordinance you shall do, and my statutes you shall keep, to walk in it. I am Yahweh your Elohim. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my ordinances, which if a man does, he shall live in them. I am Yahweh." He signs it, Ani Yahweh, because, you know, he just wrote that. I am Yahweh. He's telling you he is the living El. He's the mighty one. These people that you were hanging out with in Egypt, don't follow their ways. When you go to Canaan, don't follow their ways, because they lived abominable lifestyles. He, in the law, if you continue to read Leviticus 18, you'll see some of the things that they were doing that we're not supposed to do. Okay? So this is the reason that Yahweh wanted to cleanse the land, because he didn't want Israel, who was the smallest of all the nations, to get caught up. But see, one of the things that they forgot to do is heed what Yahweh told him to do. Because he told him, if you fail to keep the covenant, okay, the land will vomit you out. He was talking about the Holy Land that they're going to. Now, the promised land that we're seeking is the kingdom of Yahweh. We want to be there, okay? And for us to be there, we have to be a different type of people, to live in a different type of life. We can't be like the rest of the people of the nations, because they did some crazy things or terrible things in serving their mighty one. But Yahweh's not asking us to do that. All he's asking us to do is keep the covenant, you know, which is not that difficult, okay? In verse 24 of Leviticus 18, it says, "Defile not yourselves in any of these things, for in all these things the nations are defiled, which I cast out from before you." Now, these are the things from verse 6 down to 23 that he's talking about. And I'm going to just give you an example. Verse 23 says, "And you shall not lie with any beast to defile yourself with it. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down with it. It is confusion." Now, these are the things that the people were doing. And he's telling us that we can't be a part of that. You understand? I mean, another one. I'll just give you one other, because we'll deal with this in the Feast of Unleavened Bread a little bit more. In verse 8, it says, "The nakedness of your father's wife you shall not uncover. It is your father's nakedness." 1 Corinthians 5:1 deals with a passage where it was a brother in the faith that had his father's wife. That's uncovering his father's nakedness. It was a violation of the covenant. And Yahweh's telling you, you can't do these things. You understand? So these are the reasons that we have to be different. We have to be of a Holy Spirit, a pure spirit, because we want Yahweh to delight in us. Because if you do the things that are right, don't you think you're going to receive? You know, I mean, it's not just based on that reaction. We raise our kids that way. If you're good, you receive this. If you're bad, you're going to receive this. You know, you're going to get punished. Okay? And there's some of that here. Okay? But that's solely not what this is about. And the reason I'm bringing this out is because there's this thing called grace. Right. All right? And grace is unmerited kindness. Okay? Yahweh has given us something that we haven't earned. Okay? So therefore, we can't just say, you know, and yes, I've been accused of being a legalist because I teach the law. But the Bible tells us the law is still in effect. Matthew 5, 17 to 20. "Not one yod, which is the smallest Hebrew letter, or one tittle, which is the smallest decoration, has passed from the law." See, this is a package deal. And this is why we have to come to this understanding to be able to see Yahweh the way Yahshua sees him. His Father, he knows that this is a good and generous and holy mighty one, okay? And he's not going to use or take wrath out on someone that doesn't deserve it, okay? When we act up as children, and my mother's here today, and she'll tell you for sure, we were chastised or corrected. Am I correct? Yes. Okay? And that's good parenting. Okay? It's very good parenting. Because if you don't have parameters, if you don't teach that your children right from wrong, what's going to happen? They're not going to know. Children are conditioned by their environment. See? Now, the environment that Yahweh didn't want Israel in was the environment of Egypt and the environment of Canaan, because they were doing things that were contrary to the law. Okay? So we have to have that understanding, since we know that. It says, verse 25, well, let's start in 24 again. Defile not yourselves in any of these things, for in all these the nations are defiled, which I cast out from before you. Okay? They were cast out because of their customs. And the land is defiled, therefore I do visit the iniquity, the sin of it, on it. And the land vomits out her inhabitants. Therefore you shall keep my statutes and my ordinances, and shall not do any of these abominations, neither the homeborn nor the stranger that sojourns among you. Okay? For all these abominations have the men of the land done that were before you, and the land is defiled, that the land vomits not you out also when you defile it, as it vomited out the nation that was before you. For whoever shall do any of these abominations, even the souls that do them shall be cut off from among their people. Therefore, you shall keep my charge that you practice not any of these abominable customs which were practiced before you, and that you defile not yourself in it. I am Yahweh, your Elohim. On my way down here, I was just, you know, driving casually down the road, and of course, from the road, you get to see a lot of things. And one of the things that I saw was a bunch of churches, okay? And every one of these churches had a steeple, okay? What did the steeple represent? It's a phallic symbol. Why must that be on that building? You understand? A phallic symbol, like the Washington Monument, see? That's back to the pagan worship, and that's where it's from. See, all of that's pagan worship. And people don't realize these things that in their everyday environment, that people place them there for a symbolic reason. It's in their mind. This is what Yahweh's telling us in Leviticus 18 we can't be a part of. Okay? So here, we're going to, before I go there, we're going to go over to Psalm 23. And the reason I want to go to Psalm 23, because I want you to understand what type of mighty one we serve, okay? And it's a familiar psalm to each and every one of us. Matter of fact, most of our children can quote this and recite it. And that's good. This is one of the first psalms we teach to little children. Yahweh is my shepherd, I shall not want. What does that mean? That means that there's nothing out there that you have need of that you're being provided with, which is what my mother said when she came up and gave her praise report. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. In other words, you know, as a sheep, if you're lying down in green pastures, you got all the food you want. It's there. He's providing. He's a good provider. He leads me beside still waters. You got all the drink you want, okay? He's giving you the food and the drink. He's giving you the things you have need of. He restores my soul. See, he's constantly there for us. All we have to do is be faithful and wait on Yahweh. Too often we are in such a rush in this society that we can't wait. You know, we have no patience. I'm trying to, you know, and I know it's our society. I'm trying to teach some patience to my grandchildren because, you know, the children are too late. Some of them can still get it. But delayed gratification is something that we don't practice in this country. What we do is we go out and we're going to finance it. We need a car, we're going to go out and finance it. Instead of work, do what we need to do, save the money, and go buy the car. Okay? Or whatever it is. Now, I know a mortgage is a little different. A house is a big purchase. So, therefore, you got to get financing unless you start early or you have a rich uncle or a parent that's going to, you know, give you that money to get going, to get started. And a lot of people do. But most of us don't fall into that category. So what we have to do is still learn some financial principles that we were not taught growing up. They didn't teach it in school because if you think about it, our country would be in a different state if that was the case. In Japan, they teach saving. They teach saving. That's why they had so much money to buy up so much of America. But they've been hit with so many devastations and volcanoes and earthquakes and all the tsunamis and whatnot. Their economy has been hit hard. So what we have to do still, I mean, we try to help everywhere and every time, every way we can. But staying on point, what we have to do is understand that we've been blessed, okay? For us to multiply those blessings, what we have to do is be faithful in tithes and offerings. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because if we don't do it, the devourer comes and takes away that, and you wonder why you're not getting ahead. You're not getting ahead because you're not giving, as it says in Malachi. We're going to look over there real quick. And this is not a message on tithing. I don't want you to think that. The reason I'm touching on this is because I'm touching on His goodness and His blessing. But it says in Malachi chapter 3, verse 3, it says, "And he will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi and refine them as gold and silver, and they shall offer unto Yahweh offerings in righteousness." And that's what we're supposed to do, brethren. Offer to Yahweh offerings in righteousness, because we're supposed to be righteous people. And from Deuteronomy 6, I believe 25, righteousness, the definition is keeping of the commandments, keeping the covenant. "Then shall the offering of Judah, Yehuda, and Jerusalem be pleasant unto Yahweh, as in the days of old and as in the ancient years. And I will come near to you in judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, against the adulterers, against the false swearers, against those that oppress the hireling and his wages, the widow, the fatherless." That's the third tithe, brethren. We're supposed to keep a third tithe, the third and sixth year of the cycle. Okay, we just went through a third tithe year, and that meant that he normally gives us extra blessing so that we have the money to give. We have a first tithe, second tithe, and a third tithe, and guess what? It's not too much. The government takes your money without you seeing it. You get your paycheck, it's already gone. Now, your Social Security is like third tithe, part of it, because it's for widows and orphans. So they follow through in that, so we don't oppress the people. We let them deduct some of their Social Security from their third tithe. It may not be a complete test, okay? So what I'm saying is we don't put a burden on the people. But the first tithe is holy to Yahweh. It's for Yahweh. The second tithe is for you to be able to go to the feast days and to have offerings to give at the feast. Okay? Now, it says, "The widow, the fatherless, and that turn aside the sojourner from his right." The sojourner gets a piece of that too, as well as the the priest. It says, and fear not me, says Yahweh of hosts, for I, Yahweh, change not. Therefore you, O sons of Jacob, are not consumed. From the days of your fathers you have turned aside from my ordinances. You've walked away from my commandments. And these are some of the commandments, and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, says Yahweh of hosts. But you say, in what way shall we return? Will a man rob Elohim? Yet you rob me. But you say, in what have we robbed you? And tithes and offerings. You are cursed with the curse, for you robbed me, even this whole nation. It says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and prove me now with this. This is the only way we can prove Yahweh, is through our tithes and offerings. And I'm going to tell you, he will bless you. He is faithful in all things. He's very good to us. All we have to do is be good back to him, okay? Because that's a part of it. Now, back to Psalm 23. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness. And I told you, righteousness is keeping the commandments. These are all part of the commandments that we're talking about. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. His name. His name's sake. Okay? We're going to get to this a little bit later as well. See, people don't realize how important the name of Yahweh is. It's very, very important. It's in the Bible at least 7,000 times. I think that's important, okay? Now, yes, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. There's no reason to. We have Yahweh on our side. Why fear evil? For you are with me. Your rod, which is his authority, and your staff, they comfort me. They comfort me. Because we have Yahweh as our authority. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Yahweh does bless his people. You have anointed my head with oil. That's a blessing in itself. Oil represents the name of Yahweh. My cup runs over. The blessings we receive are overflowing. And that's what he says. Prove me in tithes and offering, and guess what? Your cup is going to overflow. You're going to have the windows of heaven will be open. Now, I don't know of too many people that have too many blessings. You know, most people are complaining about what they don't have. But I'm going to tell you, we're not talking about needs here, okay, because he gives us all our needs. This is the excess. See, because we live in the richest country in the world, yet we're not the most giving. We're down like 33 or somewhere on that list. You would think that we would be number one, at least number two, but we're not. We're far down the list. I mean, the government gives money away to other countries, but, you know, we're talking about the people, and a lot of people do give here. I'm not trying to say that the majority of Americans, you know, are tightwads or whatever. I mean, they do give, you know, for their own causes and the things that they believe are important. But I'm talking about to Yahweh. You understand? This is what this is about. Because when you do, then the blessings come back to you, manifold. Surely goodness and loving kindness shall follow me all the days of my life. Not some days, all the days. And I shall dwell in the house of Yahweh forever. And that's important that we understand that. See, that's one of my favorite scriptures, Psalm 27. It talks about verse 4. One thing have I asked of Yahweh, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of Yahweh all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of Yahweh and to inquire in his temple. Yahweh has given us this ability to be a part of his kingdom. All we have to do is be faithful. And if we're faithful, we're going to receive the blessings from on high. Now, our next scripture is Psalm 25. Yahweh satisfies all my needs, all our needs. He is very good to me. He's very good to each and every one of us that's faithful. And this is why we're here. We want to give back. We want to show him that we care, that we love him. See, as we learn of Yahweh, he blesses us. Because this is one of the reasons we keep the feast. You know, the purpose of the second tithe, we're going to go over that real quick. I'll throw a little curve in here. Excuse me, I'm sorry. Deuteronomy chapter 14. In verse 22, it says, you shall surely tithe all the increase of your seed, that which comes forth from the field year by year, and you shall eat before Yahweh your Elohim in the place which he shall choose, to cause his name to dwell there. The tithe of your grain, of your new wine, and of your oil, and the firstling of your herd and of your flock, that you may learn to fear Yahweh your Elohim always. And it says, if the way is too long for you so that you're not able to carry it, because the place is too far from you, which Yahweh your Elohim shall choose to set his name there, then when Yahweh your Elohim shall bless you, then shall you turn it into money and bind up the money in your hand and shall go to the place which Yahweh your Elohim shall choose. And you shall use the money for whatever your soul desires, for oxen, for sheep, for wine, for strong drink, or for whatever your soul asks of you. And you shall eat there before Yahweh your Elohim, and you shall rejoice, you and your household. And the Levite that is within your gates, you shall not forsake him, for he has no portion nor inheritance with you. So we get into the third tithe after that, which is verse 28 through the end of the chapter. And it tells you who gets a portion of the third tithe, which is in that third and the sixth year. Okay? Now, again, like I said, the purpose is for you to learn to fear Yahweh. It tells you anything. It was an agrarian society back in these days, right? So they raised their crops. They basically made everything that they would have need of. And whatever excess they had, then they would use that excess to sell, to be able to barter or buy some of the other things they need from somebody else that, you know, did something that they had need of that they didn't produce themselves. Now we live in an information age. There's no, even, we're at the end of the industrial age, but, you know, what happened during this time, the kids were raised by their father and mother, okay? They were taught at home. They learned from their parents. They were there. They saw their father on a daily basis. When things got to the point where we went to the industrial age and the man, for better wages or whatever, they're going out of the house. They're leaving. They're not spending time with the kids, so they don't get to see their parents as much. See? We can see Yahweh as often as we want. See? He delights in his people. But we have to reciprocate and delight in him by keeping his covenant and being faithful in all things. Now, like I said, when we get to the industrial age and everybody's going off and now everything gets more expensive, you need two incomes to make things work, and what? The husband and the wife are both out working jobs. When do the kids get to see their parents? Oh, they don't, right. They might glimpse at them, somebody's home for dinner, you know, but very seldom. You see what the problems are created by our children not being raised by the parents. They're raised by daycares. They're raised by other people other than their father and mother, who, I'm not saying a lot of the relatives don't love these children, but they're still not their father and mother. They don't have the relationship that they should have with their fathers and mothers. So therefore, we have all these problems in our society because the people, the children, they are seeing somebody else as that person in their life that's important. Yahweh has to be the first, but the father and mother have to be there. We have to emulate Yahweh in their lives of our children, and we will have less problems. See, how many people don't delight in their children? I don't care who they are. Even the most wicked people out there care about their children. Okay? Oh, yeah. You just have the teacher do something to one of their children. They'll be at school down that teacher's throat. So what I'm trying to say is that we delight in our children just like Yahweh delights in us. But for us, we have to give them a good example as well. And if we're not there, our children don't get to see us. And yeah, we try to make up with the grandchildren. Yeah, we can spoil them and send them home. But what we have to do, we have to build that relationship that we have to have with Yahweh just like that with our children. Okay? It goes both ways. Because if our children see, and most of them do, they'll come around, they see that we have a relationship with Yahweh, okay, they're going to want to have that same relationship. They're going to see the blessings that we've received, and they're going to say, you know what, we want to be blessed too. And they're going to start doing the things that they need to do to receive those blessings. In Psalm 25, turn with me to Psalm 25. Psalm 25 is in there. I'm going to start in verse 4. And you never come without your Bible. You got to keep your sword with you. That's important. And if you're in war and you don't have your sword, what happens? The enemy catches you unaware. And you don't want to be caught unaware. That's right. So in the books we have the Psalms. That's one of the reasons I chose this for the message. The Psalms. Psalm 25, verse 4, it says, show me your ways, O Yahweh. Teach me your path. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are the Elohim of my salvation. For you do I wait all the day. I'm going to patiently wait for you, Father. Remember, O Yahweh, your tender mercies and your loving kindness, for they have been your loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to your loving kindness, remember me. For your goodness' sake, O Yahweh, good and upright is Yahweh. Therefore will he instruct sinners in the way. And that's important for us to understand. See, because too many people look down their nose at people that they see out in the street sinning. Okay, Yahweh doesn't hate the sinner. He hates the sin. See? And that's important for us to understand. It says, the meek will he guide in justice, and the meek will he teach his way. All the paths of Yahweh are loving kindness and truth to such as keep his covenant and his testimony. For your name's sake, here it is again, O Yahweh, that importance of the name. Pardon my iniquity, for it is great. What man is he that fears Yahweh? Him shall he instruct in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the land. The friendship of Yahweh is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. And that's what we want. Yahweh has shown us his covenant. Now, if you fall more deeply in love with Yahweh, how might that change your behavior? How might that change your life? Because you've fallen in love with Yahweh. You think about it. We spend more time with our significant others, our spouses, our boyfriends, our girlfriends, and you think about that, we have to have that relationship first with him to be able to have a good quality relationship with anybody else. It's really awesome when you think about it. He is so good to us because he called us while we were yet sinners. See? And guess what? He didn't cast us off. His son died for us while we were yet sinners. Yet people say, oh, no. You don't do this right. Guess what? You're done. I used Ezekiel 18 last week. And Ezekiel 18 is a very, very good passage because it talks about the sinner, the wicked man, turning from his sin. None of his wickedness is going to be remembered. It's the righteousness because he turned. But if a righteous man turns from his righteousness and becomes wicked, none of his righteous deeds are remembered as well. It goes both ways. So Yahweh is not unequal. He is very equal. But he wants us to be faithful. And we want to develop that love for him as he shows us that love that he has shown us. Turn to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. It may be in the back. You got to look at the passages there. We have a lot of... 1 John 4. The verses I'm looking for is verse 10. Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to start at verse 7. I'll read it. You just listen. It says, "Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of Yahweh, and everyone that loves is begotten of Yahweh and knows Yahweh. He that loves not knows not Yahweh, for Yahweh is love. And this was the love of Yahweh manifested in us, that Yahweh has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him." This is love, not that we love Yahweh, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation, the atonement for our sins. "Beloved, if Yahweh so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No man has beheld Yahweh at any time. If we love one another, Yahweh lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. And by this we know that we live in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. But he gives his Spirit to them that obey." Acts 5:32. That's important. There's obedience required for us. And we have to be obedient to the covenant. Almighty Yahweh truly is blessing his people today. But he delights in us. And he wants to bless us. Romans chapter 5. Romans 5, verse 6. It says, "For while we were yet weak, in due season the Messiah died for the lawless. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, for possibly for the good man someone would even dare to die. But Yahweh commends his own love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, the Messiah died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, shall we be saved from the wrath of Elohim through him." So there's wrath that Yahweh is going to send forth. But he's sending that wrath forth to those who are rejecting his Son. See? Those who are not going to accept Yahshua's sacrifice. And that's why it's important for us to see that that blood was shed, that lamb that we've chosen, gave his life, that we might have life. Turn to Luke chapter 15. No, Luke's not in there. you got to get a phone like you know, your daughter that has the Bible on it. We're going to start at 1. Luke 15, verses 1 and 2. It says, now all the publicans and sinners were drawing near to him to hear him. And they were speaking about Yahshua. And both the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. They murmured. Okay? They looked down their nose at Yahshua because he was with sinners. Drop down to verse 11. This is a passage dealing with called the prodigal son, but it should be called the prodigal father because it says, and he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of your substance that falls to me. In other words, I want my inheritance. And he divided to them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there he wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the country. And he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to one of the citizens of that country. And he sent them into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the pods of the carob tree that the swine ate. And no man gave to him. But when he came to himself, he woke up. Mentally, he was there. But when he woke up, he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish here with hunger. I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no more worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But while he was yet afar off, his father saw him, was moved with compassion. He loved him. And he ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no more worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth quickly the best robe and put it on him. And put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet and bring here the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and make merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his older son, when he was in the field, and he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called to him one of the servants and inquired what these things might be. And he said to him, your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has received him safe and sound. See, his father had been worried about him. He was thankful that his son was alive and came back to him. And he said to him, your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has received him safe and sound. But he was angry and would not go in. And his father came out and entreated him. But he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I serve you, and I've never transgressed a commandment of yours. And yet you never gave me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But when this your son came, who has devoured your living with harlots, you killed for him the fatted calf. And he said to him, son, you are ever with me, and all that is mine is yours. But it was proper to make merry and be glad. For this your brother was dead and is alive again and was lost and is found. See? But this is the key. This is not about the young man that went off and sinned. This is about the brother that was upset. These are the Pharisees. These are the scribes. Because they're looking down their nose at the sinners. How can he eat with these sinners? How can he spend time with these people? Guess what? The physician don't need to go to those that are healthy. He needs to go to the sinners. See, Yahweh loves his people. He wants us to be healthy. He wants to forgive us for our sins. That's why he gave his only begotten son. He shed his blood. Okay? So we can't be like the Pharisees because they had this attitude problem. See? We have to learn to be just like that father was. The relationship that he had with that son. The son went up, he messed up. And guess what? We all do. Okay? And no one can say that I am more righteous than this person or that person because you know what? One sin is worthy of death. Yahshua's blood cleansed all of our sins, but we still have to come to him to receive it. We have to come to him to be granted that forgiveness. See? And that's what Yahshua wants. And as we get ready for Passover, we have to look for that forgiveness. The Pharisees and scribes murmured inside instead of humbling themselves. And that's what we have to do, brethren. We have to humble ourselves because this is what Yahweh wants. He's looking for a people. You saw in Psalm 23 all of the provisions that he gives us. All of the blessings that he has placed for his people. All we have to do is be humble and receive the blessing because Yahweh delights in each and every one of us. And we want to receive that blessing. We want to receive that delight that Yahweh has in us. In Deuteronomy chapter 10, it may be in the back. Deuteronomy chapter 10, it was just, we're looking at verses 12. It says, and now Israel, what does Yahweh, your Elohim, require of you? But to fear Yahweh, your Elohim, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve Yahweh, your Elohim, with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the commandments of Yahweh and his statutes, which I command you this day for your good. Behold, to Yahweh, your Elohim, belongs the heaven and the heavens of heavens and the earth, with all that is in it. Yet Yahweh had a delight in your fathers. He has a delight in us. I'm telling you, he does. To love them. And he chose their seed after them. Even you above all peoples, as at this day, circumcise therefore the foreskins of your heart. It's not your flesh, it's your heart. And be no more stiff-necked. For Yahweh Elohim, he is Elohim, El of Elohim, the sovereign of rulers, the great El, the mighty and the terrible, who regards not persons nor takes reward. He executes justice for the fatherless and the widow and loves the sojourner in giving him food and raiment. Therefore love the sojourner, for you were sojourners in the land of Egypt. You shall fear Yahweh your Elohim. Him you shall serve, and to him you shall hold fast, and by his name shall you swear. Almighty Yahweh loves and delights in his people, as you see here in the scripture. He is our praise. and he is your Elohim that has done for you these great and terrible things which your eyes have seen. Your fathers went down into Egypt with 70 persons, and now Yahweh, your Elohim, has made you as the stars of heaven for multitude. Yahweh delights in us, brethren. He wants us to ride upon the high places of the earth. He wants us to inherit the kingdom. All we have to do is be faithful. All we have to do is accept the shed blood of Yahshua the Messiah. Truly, we have but a short time before Yahshua returns. So we need to get our houses in order spiritually. And as we approach the Passover, next week we'll be dealing with what we have to do inside, what we have to get rid of to prepare for the Feast of Unleavened Bread. People ask me, well, what if you eat leavened bread during the feast? Well, probably nothing except your conscience. See, because this is a symbolic thing. I mean, we eat leavened bread. It's not poison, okay? But during that period of time, it will corrupt you. It's a symbolic thing that we're doing to show inner cleansing. We're doing it because he commands us to do it. See? So we're going to concentrate on some of these things as we get closer to the feast. And we want Almighty Yahweh to be with us, to bless us, so that we can overcome this world and Satan the devil. At this time, we're going to have a closing prayer. So if you would rise, we'll end this service with a prayer. Father Yahweh, we bow our hearts before your throne of grace, thanking and praising your name for delighting in your servants. We ask, Father, that you would bless your servants, that you would watch over us, that you would prepare us as we prepare to choose our land, Yahshua the Messiah. On the 10th day of the first month, Israel went out and chose their lambs for the Passover. And that lamb that they chose stayed with them and was like a pet to them until they had to slit its throat. We know our Savior, Yahshua the Messiah, who died for each and every one of us. We ask, Father, that we would be able to draw closer to you by keeping and being faithful and keeping your covenant law. We all are sinners, Father, but we're repentant sinners. We're sorry for the sins that we've committed. And we ask, Father, that you would draw us closer to you so that we would get to that point that we're at one with you and Yahshua the Messiah. Again, we thank you for his cleansing blood, and we ask, Father, that you would continue to bless us with the knowledge that you would prepare us for your soon coming kingdom and your son, Yahshua the Messiah. Help us to overcome this world and be faithful in all things. And we thank you again for all you've done for us in the name of your son, Yahshua the Messiah, we pray. Hallelujah. Now for our closing song, we're going to sing number 25.
Hallelujah.